Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Kriyat Shema, perek bet. In the last perek, the Rambam discussed the structure of Kriyat Shema, including the brachot preceding and following it, as well as the correct time to recite Kriyat Shema, both in the evening and in the morning. This perek addresses other details of how Kriyat Shema must be said, beginning with the requirement of kavana, intent, while reciting Kriyat Shema. Halacha Aleph. Hakorei et Shema, v'lo kivein libo b'pasuk rishon, shehu Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, lo yatsa yidei chovato, v'asha'ar im lo kivein yatsa, afilu haya korei batorah kedarko, o magia et haparshiyot ha'elu be'onat kriya, yatsa, v'hu shekivein libo b'pasuk rishon. The Rambam rules here that Kavana is required only in the first Pasuk of Kriyat Shema. But a major question in understanding this halacha is what kind of Kavana is the Rambam referring to? There are two possibilities. The first is that he is referring to Kavana to be yotze the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. There is a general debate in the Gemara whether mitzvot tzrichot Kavana, that is, can you be yotze a mitzvah if you don't have Kavana while doing it that you want to be yotze? For instance, if someone hears a shofar on Rosh Hashanah while walking in the street with no intent to be yotze the mitzvah of hearing shofar, is he yotze? The Nosei Kelun debate how the Rambam rules on that question in general, and we'll see this in other places in the Mishnah Torah as well. The last part of this halacha says that one is yotze Kriyat Shema even if he reads the rest of it after the first pasuk while just learning Chumash or correcting a Sefer Torah with no intent to be yotze the mitzvah. This seems clearly to indicate that the Rambam holds mitzvot einan tzrichot kavana. Kavana to be yotze isn't required. But the Kesef Mishnah finds this problematic, as he thinks the Rambam in general holds mitzvot tzrichot kavana. And this leads him to a far-reaching conclusion in explaining our halacha. The Rambam must hold that the Torah obligation of reading Kriyat Shema is limited only to the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael. So for that pasuk, the Rambam holds mitzvot tzrichot kavana, the person needs kavana to be yotze, and the rest of Kriyat Shema is midrabanan, and for rabbinic mitzvot, the Rambam agrees that mitzvot einan tzrichot kavana. This is somewhat difficult, as the Rambam seemed to say in Perek Aleph, as we saw, that at least the first two paragraphs of Kriyat Shema are Doraita, possibly all three. So this leads us to the second understanding of the Rambam here. The Rashba in his Chidushim on Masechet Brachot understands the Rambam to mean that in the first Pasuk, one must have Kavana as to the meaning of the words. This has nothing to do with Mitzvot Tzrichot Kavana and Kavana to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. One who says Kriyat Shema must understand and think about the words he is saying, as otherwise there is no Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, excepting the Yoke of Heaven, which is a critical component of reciting Kriyat Shema. Even if much more of Kriyat Shema than the first Pasuk is part of the Mitzvah Doraita, nonetheless this requirement of understanding the words only applies to the first Pasuk, because that is where Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim is most concentrated. As for the last part of the halacha, that no kavanah at all is needed in the rest of Kriyat Shema, even kavanah to be yotze, that supports the opinion among Nosei Kelim that the Rambam rules mitzvot einan tzrichot kavanah. But Rav Soloveitchik in the Yartzei Tshir suggests a novel idea. It may be that in general the Rambam holds mitzvot tzrichot kavanah. Why then is one yotze even if he reads the rest of Kriyat Shema while learning Chumash or correcting a Sefer Torah? Because the intense kavana in the first pasuk, understanding and really meaning what the words say, leaves an imprint not only on that pasuk, but on the entire Kriyat Shema. All three paragraphs are considered to be a long statement of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, and that qualifies as Kriyat Shema with kavana, even if after the first pasuk one doesn't have any kavana at all and is reciting it while he's correcting a Sefer Torah. When we get to Halacha Dalid, we'll encounter a further wrinkle in this question of what kavana is required during Kriyat Shema. Halacha bet. Kol adam korin kedarkan, bein omdin, bein mahalchin, bein shochvin, bein rochvin al gabei behema. Va'asur likrot Kriyat Shema v'hu mutal ufanav tuchot bakarka, o mushlach al gabo ufanav lamala, aval korehu v'hu shochev al tzido. As we mentioned in the last perek, this is the opinion of Beit Hillel, that min haTorah one can recite Kriyat Shema in any physical position. The Rambam adds that it should not be recited while lying on one's back or one's front, as this is considered disrespectful while one is engaged in Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. But it's mutter to recite Kriyat Shema while lying on one's side. The Ravid adds that even this isn't ideal, and one should do his best at least to sit up. And the Rama on the Shulchan Aruch accepts the opinion of the Ravid. Halacha Gimel. Mi shehaya mahalech al raglav, omeid b'pasuk rishon, v'ashaar korei v'hu malech. Haya yashen, mitzarinoto umeirinoto ad shikra pasuk rishon. Mikan va'ilach, im anasatu shena, ein mitzarinoto. Part of the proper kavana from halacha aleph is to stand still, and so someone walking should stop while he reads the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema. The second part of the halacha is puzzling. One who is sleeping should be woken up to say the first pasuk, and if he falls asleep after that, ein mitzarinoto, we don't trouble him. Does this mean that we let him fall back asleep and miss the mitzvah d'oraita of Kriyat Shema? This may support the view of the Kesef Mishnah we saw, that even for the Rambam, only the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah d'oraita. The pasuk of the Rambam here is based on a Gemara in Brachot Daf Yud Gimel, and the Shulchan Aruch accepts the alternative understanding of the Rush, that of course the sleepy individual must recite all of Kriyat Shema before falling back asleep. But after the first pasuk, it can be done while dozing, mitnamnem, without any kavan at all. This din appears in the Rambam later in our parak in Halacha Yud Bet. The simpler reading of the Rambam here, though, is that we let him fall back asleep without reading the rest of Kriyat Shema at all. Rav Salvechik, in the same Yartzeit Shir we referenced earlier, suggests that this person is so tired that he is fundamentally exempt from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, based on the principle of Ones Rachmana Patre. He is unable, due to his intense fatigue, to perform the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. But there is a separate mitzvah of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim, typically subsumed in the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, from which there is no exemption of Ones. And so even this slumbering individual must be aroused for the short amount of time it takes to be Mekabel Ol Malchut Shamayim. That is an alternative understanding of the Rambam here. Halacha Dalet. Mi shahaya osek bimlacha, mafsik ad shikra parsha rishona kula. V'chein ha'umanin botlim mimlachtan b'farsha rishona kidei shelo tehei kriyat arai. V'asha'ar korei v'hu osek bimlachto. Afilu haya omeid b'rosh ha'ilan o b'rosh ha'kotel korei bimkomo umvarech lefaneh ula achareha. A worker who may not leave his work for any more time than absolutely necessary because he's being paid for his time must pause for the duration of the first paragraph of Kriyat Shema and can say the last two paragraphs while working. This seems very strange. Didn't we establish in Halacha Aleph that the special requirement of Kavana applies only to the first Pasuk? What is the significance of the entire first paragraph? This question is only strengthened when we note that the author of both conclusions in the Gemara, that only the first Pasuk requires Kavana, and that workers must pause their work for the entire first paragraph, is the same Amora, Rava. The Rif, in his summary of the first parak of Masechet Brachot, explains the distinction between the Halachot. Aside from the requirement of Kavana, in the first pasuk, there is an additional requirement that Kriyat Shema be recited in a matter of kviut, that is, one devotes his full attention to saying Kriyat Shema, as opposed to being arai, something done in a temporary or casual manner without one's entire focus. Kriyat Shema recited while working is considered a kriyat arai, as the Rambam says explicitly in this halacha. To be kavua, it is not enough that the first pasuk be read while pausing from work, perhaps because this is too short. Rather, the entire first paragraph must be recited while he is pausing his work. Skip ahead to halacha chet for a moment. Hakorei kriyat shema lo yirmoz be'inav, lo yikrotz bisvatav, lo yare be'etzbaotav, kidei shelo tei kriyat arai. Here is another way in which Kriyat Shema can have the problem of Kriyat Arai. Making motions with the eyes, lips, or fingers during Kriyat Shema also makes it Kriyat Arai, which the Rambam characterizes here as Miguneh, demeaning to the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. The Shulchan Aruch understands that this halacha too applies only to the first paragraph of Kriyat Shema, as we just saw on Halacha Dalid, that saying the first paragraph while working is considered Kriyat Arai. But the rest of Kriyat Shema can be said while working. And so too, the rest of Kriyat Shema, it's okay to make these kinds of motions. But the Rambam here in Halacha Chet doesn't mention this limitation, and he seems to believe that making these kinds of motions during any part of Kriyat Shema represents a problem of Kriyat Arai. It's possible that there are different ways to make Kriyat Shema into Kriyat Arai, and that making motions with parts of the body undermines the kviut of Kriyat Shema more than a worker performing his work. Hence, the latter is prohibited only during the first paragraph, while the former poses a problem anywhere in Kriyat Shema. In summary, the Rambam has three levels. Kavana, understanding and thinking about the meaning of the words being said, is only required during the first pasuk. Abstaining from work is required during the first paragraph. And abstaining from communicating using body motions seems to be required during all of Kriyat Shema. Now let's go back to Halacha Hey. Haya osek b'talmud Torah v'higi azman Kriyat Shema, posek v'korei, umavarech lefaneh ulachareha. Haya osek b'tzochei rabim, lo yafsik, ela yigmor iskehen, v'yikra imishar eit likrot. Haya osek b'achila, Oshaya b'merchatz, Oshaya osek betisporet, Oshaya mapech b'orot, Oshayu oskin badin, gomer, v'achar kach kore kriyat shema. V'im haya mitarei shema yavor zman kriya, ufasak v'kara, harei ze meshubach. One must interrupt his Torah learning to say kriyat shema, but not his meal, bath, or haircut, as long as time remains afterwards before zman kriyat shema ends. This seems counterintuitive. Under identical circumstances, it is necessary to interrupt one's learning, but not a meal or a haircut? The Kesem Mishnah explains that fundamentally we don't require someone to interrupt any activity in which he is already involved in order to say Kriyat Shema, if there will be time to say Kriyat Shema afterwards. But since saying Kriyat Shema is itself a form of learning Torah, it is not considered an interruption at all for someone who is learning to pause in order to recite Kriyat Shema. The Raiva disagrees regarding Halacha Vav, and thinks that since Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah d'oraita, one is required to interrupt any activity in order to say it, including a meal and haircut. The Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions, but some Achronim, like the Bach, think that there may not really be a machloket here, and the Rambam and Ravid are referring to different cases. It may depend on whether the person began the meal, or whatever other activity he's involved in. If he began before the time for Kriyat Shema arrived, like in the late afternoon, then he doesn't need to interrupt unless there won't be time afterwards to say Kriyat Shema. This seems to be the case the Rambam is referring to, as he starts Halacha Hey with someone who is learning and then Zman Kriyat Shema arrived, Higia Zman Kriyat Shema. And Halacha Vav seems to be a continuation of the same scenario with other activities in place of learning Torah. However, if he only began the other activity after the time for Kriyat Shema has already arrived, then he must stop in the middle to say Kriyat Shema, as he should never have become engaged in some other activity without saying Kriyat Shema first. This may be the case that the Ravid is referring to, in which case he and the Rambam are not arguing at all. Even in cases where one doesn't need to stop to say Kriyat Shema, the Rambam ends this halacha by saying that if he does so, that is considered praiseworthy. Halacha Zayin. Mi she'arad lipo, im yachol alot u'litkasot v'likrot kodem shneitz hachama, yalev yitkaseh v'ikra. V'im haya mitarei shema taneitz kodem she'ikra, yitkaseh b'mayim shu'o meid behen v'ikra. Someone who is tovel and mikvah, if he has time to come out, cover himself, and read Kriyat Shema before sunrise, he should do that. But if he is concerned that he won't be able to get out and cover himself and finish Kriyat Shema before sunrise, then he should cover himself in the water and say Kriyat Shema there. Note something which comes out of this halacha, which we alluded to in Perek Aleph. The Rambam considers the proper time for Kriyat Shema to be prior to sunrise, to the point that it is preferable to cover up in the water and say Kriyat Shema before sunrise rather than wait to come out, dress properly, and say it after sunrise. In addition, this is true even if he does not proceed to Daven Amida at sunrise, as this individual who is covering up underwater and say Kriyat Shema is only saying Kriyat Shema. He's not going to be Davening Amida until much later. This again shows that Kriyat Shema in and of itself has a proper time of before sunrise. Halacha Chet we already learned, and we'll summarize Halacha Tet, where the Rambam emphasizes the importance of saying the words of Kriyat Shema clearly and precisely, avoiding errors of pronunciation. Special care must be taken to separate and not slur together two words with a common sound at the end of the first and beginning of the second, like Bechol Levavcha and Va'avaditem Mehira. The Zayin of Lema'an Tizkeru must be accentuated so that it not sound like Tizkeru from the root of Schar, which would make it sound like we do mitzvot for the purpose of obtaining reward. The final Dalid of Echad at the end of the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael should be lengthened to hint that God's kingship extends infinitely in all four directions. In Halacha Yud, there is a fascinating debate between the Rambam and the Ravid. Kore Adam et Shema b'chol lashon shiyeh mekira. V'akore b'chol lashon tzarich lizaher midivrei shibush shebeota lashon. Umidagdeik b'otah lashon k'moshe midagdeik b'lashon ha-kodesh im kara'a b'lashon ha-kodesh. Kriyat Shema can be recited in any language, according to the Mishnah in Masechet Sota. The translation into another language must be accurate. But the Rambam goes further and requires that when Kriyat Shema is read in another language, one must be midagdeik in that language as well to avoid slurring two words together or incorrectly pronouncing some word like a different word, exactly as we just described for Hebrew. The Raiva disagrees, claiming that there is no significance to speaking another language with precision, as that language is simply a translation of the original Hebrew. The Rambam and Raiva are disputing whether other languages have inherent significance in halacha, in areas where they can be used, or if their significance derives purely from the original Hebrew words for which they serve as a vehicle to convey meaning to those who don't understand Hebrew. Incidentally, Achronim generally frown upon reciting Kriyat Shema in other languages nowadays, as there are words and phrases that we don't know how to translate precisely. Halacha Yud Aleph.
הקורא למפריה לא יצא. במה דברים אמורים? בסדר הפסוקים. אבל אם יקדים פרשה לפרשה, אף על פי שאינו רשאי, אני אומר שיצא, לפי שאינה סמוכה לה בתורה. Someone who reads Kriyat Shema out of order isn't Yotze. But the Rambam limits this din to one who changes the order of the psukim within one paragraph. We saw in Parak Aleph that the paragraphs are supposed to be read in a certain order, Shema, then Vahayim Shamoa, then Vayomer. But the Rambam believes this isn't necessary in order to be Yotze Kriyat Shema, because these parashiyot don't appear together in the Torah, unlike the psukim within each paragraph, which do. This is the first time we've seen the Rambam use the first person in the Mishnah Torah, when he says, Ani Omer, an indication that the Rambam doesn't have a clear source for this din, but is convinced nonetheless that it is true. Kara pasuk v'chazar ukrao pam shnia, harei ze migune. Kara mila achat uchfala, kigon shekara shema shema, mishakinoto. Reading a pasuk twice is considered disrespectful, and is frowned upon. But reading a single word twice is considered worse, and we silence someone we hear doing so. The Shulchan Aruch limits this din to the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema, as repeating a word makes it sound as if one is speaking about two different gods. It should be noted that there is no problem at all to repeat an entire paragraph, or for that matter, to repeat the entire Kriyat Shema. Halach Yud Bet, Kera'a Serugin Yatza, Afilu Shaha Bein Serug L'Serug Kedei Ligmor Et Kula Yatza, V'hu Sheyikra Ala Seder, Kera'a Mitnamnem, V'hu Mi She'eno Lo Er V'lo Nirdam B'Sheina Yatza, U'Bavad Shehei Er B'Pasuk Rishon. One who pauses in the middle of Kriyat Shema and then continues later from where he left off is Yotze, even if the pause was very long, lasting as long as it takes to say all of Kriyat Shema. As we'll see in Hilchot Tefillah, such a long pause can, in some cases, invalidate a Shmona Esrei, but it does not invalidate Kriyat Shema. One who reads Kriyat Shema while dozing off is Yotze, as long as he is fully awake for the first Pasuk, which, as we've seen, requires full Kavana. Halacha Yud Gimel. Safek kara kriyat shema safek lo kara chozer v'kore umlarech lefaneh ulachareha aval im yada shekara v'nistapek lo im berech lefaneh ulachareha o lo berech eino chozer umvarech. If one is in doubt whether or not he read kriyat shema, he must read it again based on the rule of safek d'oraita l'chumra. In this case, interestingly, he must say the birchot kriyat shema as well, even though they are only midrabanan, as the proper way to say kriyat shema is together with its brachot. This again shows that the Birchot Kriyat Shema are different from a bracha said on a mitzvah, which, according to the Rambam, as we'll see later in Hilchot Mila, one does not say when performing a mitzvah out of safek. If one is sure he said Kriyat Shema, but is unsure if he said the brachot, then he does not repeat them because of the rule of safek d'rabanan l'kula. We'll summarize the rest of the perek outside. One who makes a mistake in a word of Kriyat Shema must go back to where he made the mistake and say from that point onward. If he paused in the middle of some paragraph and doesn't remember exactly where, he must start from the beginning of that paragraph. A common scenario, someone reciting Kriyat Shema while distracted reads the pasuk of Uchtav Tam al Mezuzot Peitecha Uvisharecha, and he doesn't remember if he's at the end of the first or the second paragraph. The Rambam rules that he must assume that he is at the end of the first paragraph. If, however, he only begins to have this doubt after starting the pasuk of Lema'an Yirbu Yimeichem, then we assume, based on force of habit, that he's at the end of the second paragraph, and that is why he continued with Leman Yirbu. In the last halachot of the perek, the Rambam discusses when one may interrupt Kriyat Shema in order to greet a passerby or to respond to the greeting of a passerby. The din, whose source is the first mishnah of the second perek of Brachot, depends on whether one is in the middle of a paragraph or between paragraphs, be'emtza perek or bein haprakim, and also on the stature of the passerby. There are three levels of stature. One, a regular person, like a friend or an acquaintance. Two, a person to whom one is required to show honor, kavod, like a parent, a rebbe, or some other Talmid Chacham, or a wealthy benefactor. And three, a person who one fears, yira, like a king or government officer who is liable to punish anyone who offends him. The Rambam's psak, following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, is as follows. Between paragraphs, one may respond to the greeting of any passerby at all, and initiate a greeting to those in the last two categories of kavod and yira. But if one is in the middle of a paragraph, even in the middle of a sentence, he may respond only to someone in the last two categories, kavod and yira, and may initiate a greeting only to someone in the last category of yira. The Shulchan Aruch adds that these rules do not apply to the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema, when one is only allowed to interrupt if he fears for his life, similar to what we'll learn later in Hilchot Tefillah about interrupting in the middle of the Shmona Esrei. The Rambam closes the perek in Halacha Yud Zayin by listing what qualifies as Bein HaPrakim and what is considered Emtza Perek. between one bracha of Kriyat Shema and another, or between the second bracha before Kriyat Shema and Kriyat Shema itself, are considered Bein HaPrakim, as are between paragraphs of Kriyat Shema. But between the last paragraph of Kriyat Shema and the following bracha, which begins with the word Emet, that's considered Emtza Perek. The reason for this is that by joining the closing words, Hashem Elokeichem, of the last paragraph of Kriyat Shema, with the word Emet, we form a phrase similar to the Pasuk in Yirmiyah of Vashem Elokim Emet, a clear statement of the existence of God as the ultimate truth, the reason for the existence of everything else. And the Rambam even quoted this Pasuk in Hilchot Yesodei Torah in the context of the mitzvah to believe in God. So we are required to link these words together, and therefore the meeting point of Kriyat Shema and the bracha following it is considered Emtza Perek and not Bein HaPrakim. This explains as well why the Shliach Tzibur says Hashem Elokeichem Emet at the end of Kriyat Shema, even though the last word of the Parsha of Tzitzit is Elokeichem.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's Perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next Perek.